Hi everyone, and welcome to the Objective Performance Podcast, the podcast to keep improving and reach the top. I'm Julien Astoric, French physiotherapist and SNT coach. Every 2 weeks, I'm going to interview sport physiotherapists, physical trainers, SNT coaches or others who follow and take their athletes to the highest level. The first part of the interview will be about their journey. Where do they come from? Where did they study, travel and start their career? Then, what they are currently doing and what we can learn from it. What is their current research topic? How can this improve our skills? And finally, we will discuss their mentors, their favorite books, and how can we contact them. As usual, I'm counting on your support. So if you like the episode, don't forget to give this episode 5 stars on No Minute as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcast with good comment. In the same way, I encourage you to share this episode on social media, especially in story on Instagram or via a post on LinkedIn. It's clearly what helps me the most to make this podcast known. Have a good listen, everyone. Hi, Nick.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Nice. I'm really happy to get you on my podcast. And my first question will be, what does the word performance mean to you?
It's a good question, isn't it? Performance for me is, I suppose you being happy or being able to express your abilities when there's lots of pressure and there's lots of fatigue. And you've been able to express yourself in the cauldron of competition at a level that is at your potential or higher. So that's probably what performance means to me.
Yeah, great. And can you explain us, tell us, where do you come from, where do you study, and how did you become the head SNT coach for the All Blacks?
From New Zealand, I live in Tauranga, and yeah, I was born and bred in New Zealand. I went overseas to study in Australia for 4 years, and yeah, I sort of I stumbled into rugby. To be fair, I played the game myself, but I never thought there was a career in coaching and SNC coaching in rugby. At the time, there probably wasn't. That was 20 years ago. And so I was sort of doing it for love at the time and just gradually got paid and got asked to do more and more work. So it was a little bit by accident and just being in the right place at the right time. And, yeah, I started with Waikato, a province in New Zealand, and then went to Super Rugby, which is our professional comp. And then, yeah, was lucky enough to get this job back in 2008.
Great. And how do you currently manage the egos with your players? You know, how do you manage some of the best players in the world? You know, like at SNC, how is it for you?
Yeah, it's interesting you say the egos. I don't think there's many egos in our team. There's obviously some very good athletes and some very good players, but they're no different to the ones that have been here for 5 minutes. You know, it's just the coach athlete relationship. Try and help them. Try and let them know that you're there to help them, and try and figure out how you're going to help them express themselves on Saturday. So, I suppose it's about trust and a relationship versus managing egos. I don't think managing egos you're going to get very far. I think it's more trying to establish a relationship of trust and genuine communication where I can talk to them and they can talk to me.
Great. And how do you manage pressure? You know, you have one of the biggest work maybe in the world, in the sports performance world. And how do you manage? Because it's been a while you have this kind of job. And how do you do?
Yeah, drink lots of red wine from France, mate.
It can't
No, it's a good question. There's lots of pressure, obviously, isn't there, just to perform. to help the team perform, and the outcome on the weekend is what sort of is the yardstick for how well the group's going, which is not entirely correct, but that's essentially what people look at as the result. And I suppose pressure, we all deal with it differently. I exercise, I train, I sleep lots, I eat lots of chocolate. I sort of just try to look after myself and try and front each day and not worry too much about the outcome, just try and focus on the process. So, yeah, focus on the process, look after my own energy is the key.
Great. How many people are in the All Black staff?
You mean the performance staff, the health team? We have a doctor, physio, a manual therapist, a nutritionist, a sports scientist, and me. So there's six of us. So we all have a pretty clear role, and we work together on the athletes, obviously, trying to manage workload and make sure nutrition's on point and injuries and niggles and treatment and recovery. So, yeah, there's six of us. I think it's a reasonably small team on international standards, but very experienced team. Some of us have been with the team for 15, 16. I think a couple of staff have been with the team for 20 years. So, she's been a bit of continuity there, that's for sure.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing. I think you build some relation with these guys, very strong. That's why you can work like, you can trust them, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, trust and just understand how each person ticks, in the pressure cooker of the All Blacks is important, yeah.
And if we take an example of an angel player, what do you do and what the physio does? How do you organize a rehab when you are on tour?
It's just a simple process. It's no different than any other injured player process around the world, I'd imagine, where the first step is accurate diagnosis and understanding what's actually wrong. And then once that's occurred, you're in the acute phase of injury management, where the physio and doctor will be putting a plan in place around how long or how many days to stay sort of wrapped in cotton wool, so to speak. And then Pete, our physio, takes over and pretty much will reactivate and start to strengthen and rehabilitate. And him and I work closely on how the S&C or how the fitness and conditioning work sort of dovetails into the rehab program. But we basically, the rehab program is still a performance program where we're trying to improve the athlete's performance day upon day to be back out on the park.
During the season, when you're not with the All Blacks, how do you connect with all the other staff, in New Zealand? Do you go to see them? Do you have a meeting with them to talk about maybe future players or current players? How do you take information and how do you exchange information?
Yeah, it's New Zealand's quite small, so it's quite easy to do. We will meet up. We will talk on Zoom. We'll pick up the phone and have a chat the old fashioned way. But there's lots of sharing of information and observations and lots of conversations, and obviously, we have an off season where the players are back with another team. So staying connected to the players as much as possible is important, and just trying to keep your finger on the pulse. The first step for the All Blacks is selecting a team. So we try and help the selectors, have all the information from a physical perspective as possible so that they know what they're getting and they know what they're picking or selecting. The communication and the collaboration is sort of goes 12 months a year.
Perfect. And how do you prepare those athletes for the international level compared to Super Rugby level? Is it close? And the same question than before, how do you give like a great guide or like a framework
for all the FNC coach in the Super Rugby teams? Do you work all together to see what is the biggest demand in international level, and what is a Super Rugby demand, and how do you bridge the gap?
Yeah, I think Julian, when I started, there was a big gap, and it was mainly to do with professionalism, I think, and that, you know, the All Blacks used to train way harder, you know, a lot harder and a lot longer than the super teams. But I think the gap's closed significantly, where, you know, Super Rugby is truly a professional team now, and a competition, and the athletes work pretty hard and the coaches work hard, and the gap between training volume and intensity to what happens at the All Blacks is probably nowhere near as big as it used to be. You know, we have a lot of travel that gets thrown into our week, which compounds things significantly. But that's one big difference. You know, and I think your second point about the collaboration or the working with the clubs and stuff. You know, that's an ongoing process, isn't it? What's going on in Super Rugby? You know, the rules change often in Super Rugby. Experimental laws come in and they try something, and I know there's some changes in place for next year. So trying to understand the implications of that, those changes on the game and the international game is probably something we just stay in touch with. And, you know, in terms of understanding what's happening in super rugby versus test match rugby, well, again, it's such a moving beast. And every year, every season, we're trying to figure out, well, what's the difference and how do we prepare differently or better? No different to what's probably happening in France or the UK or South Africa. You know, everyone's trying to, you know, you asked me to define performance earlier, and everyone's trying to chase the best performance, and how everyone achieves that is just, it's a bit of a melting pot, isn't it? There's so many ways of slicing the lemon that it makes for an exciting outcome at the end. We can't wait for the World Cup because there's certainly a lot of teams that are popping their head up.
We also can wait in France because it will be one of the biggest World Cup. And when do you assess them? During the season? Because you have NPC, Super Rugby, international level, you have lots of different competition during the season. And when do you assess them, and what kind of assessment do you do?
We assess, it depends on our schedule. You know, we had two teams in the Super Rugby final this year, so that final was on the Saturday, and we played Ireland 2 weeks later. So we had finalists for 9 days before a test match. So there wasn't a lot of assessing going on because we didn't have time. So I suppose the answer to your question is we assess and monitor often. But there's no set defined schedule because it depends on our, I suppose, landscape that we find ourselves in at the end of each super season, at the start of each international season. So yeah, there's very much a monitoring of various things. We assess body comp all the time. We look at strength all the time. We look at acceleration all the time. Fitness. You know, jump ability, all those things that everyone does, but we sort of do it in a manner that allows us to sort of keep an eye on how we're going versus, you know, the start and the end. You know, we've got 10 more days together, and I'm not going to be spending any time assessing people in the next 10 days when we're about to play two massive test matches against Scotland and England. So we don't really have an opportunity at the end of a season to do much. And to be fair, it's the end of the rugby calendar for these players. They've been playing rugby for 10 months, so we know that they might not be physically as good as they could have been or were because of the sort of at the other end of the season. But the numbers that we sort of collect along the way help us understand where they're at, what they need.
And so you collect data during all the season? And can you manage or can you prepare, like, a kind of peak of performance for the Rugby World Cup? Would it be the goal for the next year to get them on top for the Rugby World Cup? Or did you try to get them pretty much on top on 90% of the highest level during all the season, or maybe just 60% and 100% for the World Cup?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good question, but it's not an Olympic sport, so it's the idea of a peak is probably a little bit different to a one-off event at the Olympics, in my opinion, at least. You know, we have a group of athletes that will play a long Super Rugby season of, you know, 15 to 18 weeks, at which time that they're trying to win a Super Rugby title and be selected for the All Blacks. So, in 10 days' time, we don't have an All Black team. So, our peaking is all about getting a team that's ready to rock and roll come the start of the World Cup, and ideally the sort of the quarter final. We'd hope to hit the quarter final in a good place, physically and mentally. And that's really all we can ask for is a healthy team, through Super, be selected, and then I think we have four or five games to get ready, because obviously, it's not rocket science. It's not about, you could be physically peaking but not be able to play the game very well. So, peaking is about performance on Saturday, not about, whether you jump high on Thursday.
And for the warm-up, in training or in a game, who is in charge? Is that you, or we have few guys with you? How do you manage with the technical staff, and which part is physical part, or which part is rugby, or is it all together?
Yeah, I run the warm-up, the team warm-up you're talking on game day. Yeah, I run that. It's pretty simple. The players sort of have their routines, and we just sort of bring them together for a few minutes to do some team stuff. But it's an element of physical and mental and technical. So nothing too complicated. And really it's just about getting the last chance to do some work to really hone the skill set in. Ironically, nowadays, there's about 20 minutes between the end of the warm up and kickoff, because of all the stuff that goes on between. It's an interesting setup now with the commercial demands of the game, and who knows what it'll be like at World Cup. It'll probably be 30 minutes between warm up and kickoff. So, the warm up sort of it's a part of the process, really. It's we don't overcomplicate it.
Mm-hmm. And for recovery, what do you do? Is like warm up is not complicated, but you do it well. And how do you? I think you eat well, you drink well, you sleep well. You're trying to sleep well, but what kind of technique, or who is in charge for what part?
What part of recovery?
Each of them, like food, like feeding. Who is in charge? Nutritionist, or you do it with him?
We have a nutritionist, and she works with me. We work together, and she works with each of the players individually. Pretty much I'll oversee and run everything else. So recovery is it's something, again, we don't overcomplicate. We just try and do it well, and we'll be in ice baths. We'll be in we'll be in water. We'll be doing all that sort of stuff. We'll be tracking sleep, checking in with people that aren't sleeping very well. But we've been around the world the last couple of weeks, and no one's sleeping that well at the moment. But there's nothing we can do about it, right? So you just get on with it.
Yeah, great. How do you organize a game week? From the recovery after the last game, and how do you manage, like, big training, recover, big training, recover? If you played the Saturday, the next game, it may be Saturday against Scotland. And how do you manage your week?
It's not that difficult. We put together a schedule, and the schedule is sort of, you know, our preparation week, and that's it's really the content that changes, and that's the coaching side of things. So, you know, we'll have a light day and a hard day sort of thing, and I suppose it's really a matter of making sure that each player within the team's getting what they need physically. You know, and some players we need to sort of, you know, look after, and some players we need to push a bit harder. So that's probably the most complicated part of the week. The schedule and the program is pretty set in stone. It's really within that, it's the detail in that that sort of is individualized. You know, so you could have a player that's got a bit of an Achilles problem that we might just look after a little bit, and you've got another player that hasn't played for 2 months that just needs to train hard, and you got another player that's playing every week and he just needs to do bare minimum. So, you know, it's all about managing individuals within the week rather than, you know, any complicated, amazing week structure. You know, it's all about performing on Saturday, and it's a rugby team that just that trains a couple of times on the grass and does the basics, pushes, jumps, tackles, runs, you know, kicks, you know, and really everything in between. So just managing the load's probably the key.
Great. Thank you. And who are your mentors who inspire you in your journey, in your work journey?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really have any mentors. I've never had a mentor, but I've had lots of people that I really enjoy talking to or that I've learned lots from. You know, Professor Christian Cook was a physiologist that I had a lot to do with in my early start of my career. You know, Kelly Storet from San Francisco wrote the book Supple Leopard. Him and I still catch up most weeks just for a chat, mainly about our kids. But you know, we talk a bit about I suppose performance. He does a lot in America. You know, I spend a lot of time just chatting with other S&C coaches in New Zealand, and in other sports in Australia. You know, around programs and details and trying to look for learnings all the time. But yeah, I don't really have one mentor or one book that I've loved. I suppose I just don't sit still, and I just try and keep getting better all the time by learning more. I have a lot of students, a lot of PhD students who have been awesome for me because you know, I'm keeping up with literature through them. You know, we're doing new stuff with them, and they do all the work, and I tend to get to read the summaries, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I sort of feel like I stay current by continually reading and talking to people. But yeah, don't really have a mentor or a favorite book at this stage.
And you also work for Auckland University of Technology, and what's your job?
I left the University of Auckland Technology. I'm at the University of Waikato now.
Okay, because Waikato is closer from your home.
That's right. I'm an associate professor in human performance, and I basically help postgraduate students. So I supervise PhD students to do their PhD. So I'm a supervisor. I'm a postgraduate researcher, and so I think we've had about 5 PhDs complete this year, which is pretty cool. And most of them are in rugby union or parts of it, sevens, 15s, women's rugby. So we're continually doing stuff in rugby around, you know, strength, power, heat acclimation, recovery, nutrition. You know, we're constantly looking at how we can sort of learn more from what's out there and keep sort of pushing ahead.
It's amazing. And how do you work between this and the All Blacks staff, how do you organize yourself in a week? Do you do Monday, Tuesday is a university, Wednesday is talking with All Blacks staff and all the SNC coach in Super Rugby, or do you mix everything during one day, you know?
Yeah, I no, this when we're together playing, when I'm with the All Blacks together and on tour, I sort of, everything's about Saturday, so I tend to try and minimize all the other stuff. And when I'm not with the All Blacks touring, that's when I do, you know, all the university work and spend more time sort of chatting to clubs and doing some professional development and, you know, maybe traveling around looking at different things. But yeah, when we're on tour, it's, you're too busy to do anything else. It's just full on. You know, I'm up at 5 or 6 every day and going through to the end of the night. So, you know, it's there's 35 athletes to try and look after and 6 coaches to try and manage and yeah, no, she's all go. So not a lot of opportunity to do much else.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Nick, if someone who is listening to you wants to contact you, how can we do it? Do you have a like Instagram, Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, that's for sure, and I have an Instagram handle, Nick Gill Health and Performance, and a website, nickgill.com. So, yeah, plenty of ways to track me down on the socials. And, yeah, always happy to answer questions and chat with people online, not a problem.
Yeah, great. Nick, I know you're busy, and I'm really happy to get you on my podcast. So thank you very much.
No problem, mate. Thanks for having me. Sorry I had to juggle the times around a little bit, but we got there, mate. We got there.
Yeah. Thank you. See you next time.
Okay, mate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Voilà. Thank you for listening until the end of this episode. I hope you had as much fun as I had recording it. If you want to help me, the best thing is to share this episode to as many people as possible. Talk about it around you. Debrief it with your colleagues. What have you learned? How can this episode help you? Feel free to give me feedback or suggest people to interview. I will be happy to answer. See you soon for a new episode.